kindergartner kid, you can't fly, even if you have the cape and everything, you know? And so maybe there was a little bit of a coming to earth, coming to reality, a little, you know, a little abrupt spot to say, wait a minute, even though that passion, that desire, that eagerness is there, it doesn't quite work that way. And from my dad's standpoint, maybe teaching me early on, there's something bigger to trust in than a cape. There's something more to trust in than a man of steel. And so I'm kind of using that today to talk a little bit about our culture, our lives, even our dads, and how we sometimes can pedestalize, put on a pedestal those people in our lives or even the concept in our life and either feel good or bad comparatively with that when really we only have one that meets the ideal, and that's the Lord. So with this new Man of Steel movie, with this new presentation, there's really some things that maybe show us what our culture and maybe the myths and legends and kind of the superhero kind of mindset, which would be the same if it was the Incredibles, the Avengers, the Flash, the Batman. I mean, all of those, you know, wonder things. Superman kind of led the way, didn't he? I think it was like 1938 that Action Comics, way before Spider-Man or the X-Men or the Avengers, on really the heels of the Great Depression, and with these ongoing threats of war, our nation longed for a hero to intervene, someone to come along, save the day, you know? And that was Superman to save the day. For Americans unsure about their place in the world, Superman provided red, white, and blue reassurance. He was sent by his father on a life-saving mission to Earth. Now, catch some of these parallels for a little bit. Think of these parallels. This kind of says, raised in the heartland of God by God-fearing parents, Clark Kent kept his extraordinary gift under wraps until it was time to intervene. His true nature was hidden, disguised, but he quickly transformed into our superhero, a role model for kids and people of all ages. So he's back on the big screen now. In fact, why don't we take a minute and I'll just show you a couple of minute clip, kind of the trailer for the movie, and just pick out through this, just indulge me a little bit, okay? And pick out through this maybe some of the parallels and ask yourself the question, what is it that our culture is looking for in this? So awesome. Now, I know you didn't come to church this morning to be just promoted a film, but it might be a good father-son activity because, and I've even got a discussion guide if you want to talk about some of these things. It would be a good Father's Day option for you. The world is looking for Superman. The world is looking for a superhero. The world is looking for a Man of Steel. And I think that's partly why this myth, this comic book feature, and why so many of them exist, because our world is indeed looking. You know, some of the parallels I just mentioned. His father is named Elton. The two creators of Superman were Jewish in their background. I think Canadian Jews. Not messianic, Christ-following Jews, but just Jews. And it looks like a lot of things are kind of pulled into the mix. We use the word El from the Old Testament, El Elohim, you know, like Emmanuel, you know, God with us. It's the God, you know, kind of feature. We say Israel, he wrestled with God. I mean, that El ending, Bethel, house of God. I mean, that's kind of the idea. And again, not that it proves anything, but it just kind of shows us there's a hunger in our culture for something more, for something greater. There's a sense in which we all know we live in a restricted and sinful planet with a lot of need and a need for us to be saved. A need for us, we need a hero. We need a superhero. You know how Moses was put into a basket because all the people were being killed? Well, here's this Superman who's put into a capsule and sent. Really a similar parallel with that. In Superman, there's early obscurity. He almost tries to hide his identity, who he really is. And it's almost like that with our Lord in his early days. You hear very little about Jesus in the early depths, about his early rise. The Bible says we have hope in Jesus, but in Superman, the S means what? Stands for hope. It's like, I didn't know that. Interesting. You know, Bible says we need hope. We can't live a day without hope. They all stand up, all the superheroes stand up for goodness in the face of evil. There's always got to be that evil character. And isn't that the heart of the issue for all of us? When we think about this world and the sinful nature, the sinful unleashed nature of the world, and we look for a Savior who would stand up for that. In both cases, both biblical case of Christ and in legendary cases of superheroes, there's a sacrifice that's called for. There is a costly choice that is made. I don't think that's by mistake. We learn deep, deep down inside that every good thing comes out of, every good thing comes out for us of deep sacrificial choice. Even as babies, we know that the sacrifice of parents, the sacrifice of fathers leads us to what is good and what is lasting. Let me talk about the dads for a minute. Just the fact that our families in our culture, they are looking for a Superman. They're looking for a superhero. And just from the standpoint of being a dad, of burying my dad this week, and of knowing lots of dads, we aren't superheroes. We're mere human beings. But there are some things that we can do and some things that we are expected and encouraged to do. We need our dads to supply, at least within the best of their realm, the best of their ability to supply for us. Even the New Testament says, if a man does not provide for his children, he's actually worse than an unbeliever. You know, there's a sense of supplying and provision that God expects. That's kind of the bare minimum requirement. Even in our culture, if you're an absentee father, at least you're supposed to pay child support. Yeah, we kind of got that. Support and supply our kids. Hopefully, we're much, much more than that. But our world is looking for dads that will step up to the plate and supply. In Psalm 103, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance not just to his children, but to his children's children. That's why it was a delight yesterday to watch the grandkids of my father, not just his kids, but our kids, having such a blast at this celebration of life, because I think my dad didn't leave any money, but he left such a huge inheritance. We wouldn't trade that inheritance for $1 billion. You know, a godly man leaves an inheritance not just for his children, but for his children's children. Isn't that what God wants us to do, guys? Wives, mothers, isn't that what you want your hubby, the father of your children, to do? Is to leave an inheritance and supply. He needs us to sacrifice, the same kind of sacrifice that's idealized in the Superman kind of focus. He wants us to sacrifice and sacrificially give. Mentioned in my own dad's life, the sacrifice that he made for us. And I'm not sure all the ways that it came down, but 3 of my dad's brothers died young of alcoholism. The family tree on that side of my dad's family is just plagued with, I think, heredity-based alcoholism. It affected my life greatly, and through my rebellious years, had God not just yanked me out of alcoholism, I would be where my uncles were, early death because of that. My dad saw his brothers going down that road, and somehow he prompted him, even before he was a believer, to say, I'm not going down that road. And God kept him from it. And there was a sacrifice that now we're looking back saying, praise God. That was a fork in the road, even before the fork in the road where he met Christ. And the sacrifice, the sacrificial nature that now yields huge dividends. The family is looking for those that will give up their own selfishness, their own ego, their own need. Family needs dads to be strong. Maybe there's no such thing as a man of steel, but God's looking for guys that would have fiber, that will have guts, that will be willing to take with in courageous ways to stand up. We call it iron sharpening iron. God would ask us not to be men of steel, but to be men of iron strength and support. So I just want to encourage some of you dads. Some of you may be looking at your dad and saying, you know, my dad was none of those. He didn't supply. He wasn't strong. He didn't sacrifice. Okay, we're looking at the ideal today, aren't we? Some of you, I know you're going to be making some phone calls, giving some cards, taking your dad out to lunch, whatever it is. Maybe you're the dad, being honored, being encouraged, and saying, I'm way inferior. I have so many more needs than I have successes. We'll keep pointing to the ideal. Just like my dad saying, you can't fly if you have a cape, you know, we need to say it's not in anything but the Lord, that's where our real supply, that's where our real, in fact, let's focus on that here to conclude with. Let's talk about the Lord's leadership as our superhero, as our Superman, as our man of steel, and really just focus on this one verse today, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. The church has looked to Jesus Christ as our superhero. He is the one that is our model. He is the one that is our example. Everything else kind of falls short. Everything else is just legendary. C.S. Lewis says, you know, with the legend being alive, Jesus comes and eclipses the legend, takes over the legend, and causes it to be in history a reality. The legend lives on, but the reality takes over. So it is with Christ. He understands exactly what we need. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. He's the one who stood before Lazarus's grave after he'd been dead for 4 days and tears came out of his eyes. He cried, he wept, the Bible says. That's more than just tears coming out of his eyes. He wept. You know? He knew the heartbreak of losing a loved one. He knows everything. Experienced it like we experience it. That's the idea of a superhero, a superman. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our needs. He knows exactly what we need. Yet without sin. Underline that part of that verse if you would. Yet without sin. That Jesus was able not only to experience temptation just like you and I experience, but to overcome, to be victorious, and to give us a sense that if we abide in him, there can be victory in our lives as well. He experienced temptation, it says, in every way, just like we are. The book of 1 Corinthians says it this way, No sin has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. There is a commonness about temptation. Don't think that you're tempted in any way that others are not. I mean, we've gotten some technological advantages to our sinfulness. We now have a pornography industry that 200 years ago was not in existence like it is today. But temptation to lust, has it been around from the beginning? That's the common to man temptation. Oh, we've learned ways to bilk billions of dollars, but greediness, is that not been around from the beginning? Covetousness? We could go through the list. Sin is common to man. Sin is common to Christ, but temptation was common to Christ, but sin was not. He was tempted in every way. Don't think there's something that you're going through that Jesus didn't have to go through. Do you find comfort in that today? There's nothing that you're struggling with, tempted in, nothing that you're going through that Jesus hasn't already piloted the way. Think about that for a minute. Yet with strength. And the Bible says he's always available. It says we can find grace to help in time of need. In fact, it says we can go to him boldly in our time of need. We don't have to cower. We don't have to come into his throne with shame and distress and go like this with Christ. Just the opposite. Because of his invitation, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help, mercy and grace to help in our time of need. I don't know if you're living in that kind of reality, but that's the kind of superhero that we have. He's inviting us, not at a distance, not with disguise, not with barriers between us, just the opposite, opening freely himself to us. And the last part is that there would actually be help. Not in a mythical, oh, I wish I was, oh, I wish I could fly, but actually in trusting the Lord. He says, you find mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And help in time of need. We get what we don't deserve, and we don't get what we do deserve. Mercy and grace. Grace to help in time of need. Two sides to the same coin. Because if we got what we deserved, we would all have hell to pay for our sin. We don't get what we deserve, that's mercy. And we get what we don't deserve, that's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense spells grace. We get what we don't deserve because he took on what he didn't deserve. You find grace to help in time of need. Now, that doesn't just mean for eternity. It does mean for eternity, but it doesn't just mean for eternity. That grace to help in time of need is an ever-present opportunity for us. It's something that we get to take advantage of here and now and always. The church has looked to Jesus, not as some mythical superhero, but as an eclipse with that myth of superherodom that says there's a real superhero. There's someone that we really can trust in and lean on as the church has looked to Christ. Righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Yeah. So the world's looking for a superhero, a Superman. Families are looking for dads that will fill the role of being leaders. And we're all needing individually in our lives to trust in the one and only superhero we can follow, the super Savior, the one who loves us beyond what we could ever imagine. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for placing in all of our hearts, placing in our culture and our lives, our society's lives, this passion, this desire for what is bigger than ourselves. Lord, we look to you as the Lord, as the Savior, as the lover of our souls, and we thank you today for making available Jesus the Christ. Lord, as we worship him now, we ask that you would open our hearts like never before. Lord, that you would enable and enact in us a new sense of honoring you, both as our Heavenly Father and the giver of the Savior of life. Thank you for all these things. We devote ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.